Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to today's episode of the Midweek Takeaway, where we dive deep into the latest news from Guardian Metal Resources. They recently released some major drill results from their ongoing campaign at Pilot Mountain in Nevada, and let's just say they're excited. We've got a lot to unpack today, including an outstanding tungsten intersection at Desert Scheelite, the confirmation of a molybdenum-rich porphyry system at Porphyry South, and the implications for their resource model update. So without further ado, we welcome Guardian CEO Oliver Friesen. Welcome back, Oliver. How's things?
Yeah, things are going really well. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, absolutely. We just got back from Zambia, so
pretty tired.
But how is you? I don't believe you're getting ready for a trip out to see the project.
Yeah, it was actually a bit of an impromptu trip. So once we got confirmation of these assays and did all the QAQC, it was pretty important that I went out there. Number one, to see the core, because it's a spectacular intercept, but more importantly, to see the subsequent holes that we're drilling to see the extensions of the zone. So yeah, I'll be heading out Friday and I'll be there for about a week there. Lots to do, so it should be exciting.
Perfect, yeah. So let's have a look at the first statement you made. I always look at the bottom of the RNS for your quote, and it says,
"Yeah,
it's safe to say we're extremely excited about the results reported, including PM24012, which has delivered a globally significant tungsten result. Not only did we intersect 39.3 meters of 1.02% tungsten trioxide equivalent, but this extended interval is located almost entirely within the scoping level open pit mine design in an area which was previously occupied by relatively low-grade material from the previous model." So just looking at that last statement about the location, just talk us through the significance of what this might mean for the project.
Yeah, of course. So I think you hammered on it there, which is it's, you know, almost entirely within the scoping study pit shell. And that's really important because this is not a new sort of deep zone that the, you know, potential mine plan would have to accommodate. And you have to go deeper, strip ratio goes up and things like that. This was area that based on the previous mining scenario would actually be mined anyways. And in the case of what was there previously or what was known to be there previously, it was kind of, you know, 0.1, 0.2% WO3. And effectively, we've replaced that whole interval with much, much higher grade tungsten with accompanying silver and copper. So I encourage all listeners to go to the RNS, go to our website. There's a good cross section, which I think really nicely outlines what that all means, but it's significant for all the reasons that we just stated.
Absolutely. So let's have a look at that standout drill hole, this PM24012 at the Desert Scheelite. Key highlights, you've got 39.3 meters of very high grade tungsten, which includes 0.735% tungsten trioxide, 39.7 grams per ton silver, 0.44% copper, 0.3 zinc, and then a particular high-grade portion within that interval of 19.8 meters at 1.21 tungsten trioxide, 69. So, that, you know, the grades are looking pretty good, aren't they? And then extremely high-grade individual assay results at 2.9% over a 2.3-meter section. So 696 grams per ton of silver, which seems like, I mean, I've seen some projects, but that seems to be one of the highest I've seen. But just talk us through this particular hole, and presumably you'll now be trying to target other holes at the Desert Scheelite, which, you know, potentially could bear similar results.
Yeah, no, exactly. So I think that the main thing to take away here is the fact that what we have right now in the ground, the mineral resource estimate outlines 12.53 million tons at 0.26% WO3. And that includes, you know, significant copper, silver, and zinc credits. But that's the existing resource right now. So to have an extended interval like what you just quoted there, Phil, at, you know, 0.735%, obviously, you know, you can do the math at how much greater that is than the current resource now, but it's obviously it's an upgrade. And just to say all those numbers, I think a lot of investors sort of get lost in that. But what we've done just to try to simplify things and make it a bit more palatable and easy to understand for investors is on a copper equivalent basis. So what that means is if you take the value of the tungsten, the copper, the silver, and the zinc based on today's metal prices, you can find out a copper equivalent or a tungsten equivalent, which just kind of adds all those metals together and gives you a bite-sized number that helps it, makes it easier to compare this result to, say, other results that companies are reporting. And we do this to signify how significant this is. So just to quote what the copper and tungsten equivalent values are, we have 39.3 3 meters at 3.45% copper equivalent and 1.02% tungsten equivalent. So I think that right there, just that bite-sized chunk should really highlight how significant this is. Almost 3.5% copper equivalent over almost 40 meters in near surface in an area that was previously believed to be low grade. That's the
That's
takeaway
the
here. And
takeaway, yeah.
that's why that's so important.
Sure. So there was one other metal that was kind of exposed. There's this molybdenum, which you mentioned. And the results from the drill hole, again, it was the PM24002A, showed highly anomalous Mohs concentrations throughout the entire hole, ranging from, I think it was like 236 parts per million to as high as 1,170. So it seems like you've identified a new element there. Do you want to just tell us about the potential of the molybdenum?
Yeah, well, first of all, that's a very unique way to say molybdenum, Phil. I like that. That must be
The
a
UK way.
UK's a UK way, like a laboratory versus laboratory. No, that's great. No, you nailed it there. So moly is always something that we've been interested in at Pilot Mountain, because in the actual skarn itself, we're seeing moly in the form of powellite and molybdenite. So we knew there's molybdenum there. Obviously, the focus has been on the tungsten, copper, silver, and zinc. But for the skarn to have moly, appreciable moly quantities, it's got to be coming from somewhere. So we figured that the porphyry could be moly rich. And sure enough, we put one drill hole into what's a very, very large porphyry target and confirmed from surface down to 400 meters at the end of the hole, very strong porphyry style alteration, mineralization. And now we've confirmed with the assay, and importantly, that this, at least the part of the porphyry we've drilled, is molybdenum rich. And what we put in the press release is sort of a quote from the USGS talking about these ARC-related porphyry systems and kind of why they're significant. And you'll see there, they typically have mineralization between 300 ppm and 2,200 ppm, and they're mined as sort of large tonnage open pit mines. And moly itself, I think it's about 6 or 7 times more valuable than copper. So that's another really significant update here. We were going to just include this as its own RNS, but there's just so much going on, we had to combine everything. But I don't want investors to overlook the importance of this result as well.
So Oliver, when we discussed the RNS, you were very excited, and you actually quoted to me and said that this is the best drill hole you've ever come across or that you've ever been involved with. What makes you say this?
Yeah, so I mean, it's exactly that. Almost 40 meters at just under 3.5% copper equivalent at surface is a significant result anywhere you are in the world. And I've been involved with lots of drilling campaigns over my career. I've been involved with multiple discoveries, and it's exactly that. This is one of the best, if not the best, drill hole that I've ever been a part of. And it's unique in that, there's a lot of great drill holes in the world that, have good copper intercepts or gold intercepts or silver intercepts that I've been a part of. But tungsten is a metal that's really hard to find. And there's a reason why there's no current domestic production out of the US. It's hard to find it. It's not in huge quantities like you find copper. So the fact that this is such tungsten-rich interval, I mean, we have, I think, Phil, you mentioned it. I'll just quote it one more time here. Almost 20 meters of 1.2% WO3. So just the fact that we're dealing with tungsten here, a metal that's really hard to find and is so critical right now, I think really adds to how significant this drill hole is, especially when compared to other holes I've been a part of as part of my career.
Yeah, and tell us at what dip was this hole drilled?
So it was dipped, the dip was about 60 degrees, I believe.
Okay, so we think you've drilled in at an angle of 60 degrees. This is what's come up. Now, what is your intention then in terms of taking the drill bit back? You're going to be drilling from different angles, the other side of this and the other two sides of it, if you like, northeast, west,
Yeah.
south, if you like.
Yeah, no, you nailed it, Kev. So what we now look to do is test how deep this interval can go, and then also along strike, so towards the east and towards the west. So that's what we're doing now. I obviously can't say too much because at least one of those holes is in progress. But yes, looking to see how deep it goes, because right now it's shallow. I mean, from a true vertical depth standpoint, this whole intercept is within, I think, about top 70 or 80 meters of of surface. So there's a lot to go down there, and we know this deposit has some pretty deep roots. So it's looking to see how deep this interval can go, this high grade section, and then a long strike, as you mentioned.
And every day is a school day here in the old investment world and geology world. Just explain to me more than anybody, you've got this porphyry system, okay? And then from that porphyry system, we've got skarns. Now, is this like effectively the porphyry system is the big system that's there, and then the skarn is basically the shoot-off that is shooting the what was molten rock and with metal into the skarn. Is that a good description, or am I talking crap?
You could be a geology professor with that description, Kev. But honestly, that actually, as kind of dumbed down as that sounded, that actually is what's happening effectively. The key there is that these fluids, it's not the molten fluids, it's actually these kind of more watery type fluids that kind of break off from the molten porphyry as it cools. And then those fluids, they rise up, and once they get contacted with limestone units, that's when they form these skarn deposits. But yeah, it's effectively the shoot off, you could call it, from a porphyry.
So what we found in this drill hole is part of what we see now as a skarn, maybe a skarn lens, and another bigger lens now than you had even in Desert Scheelite, which you had the, I think it's 12 million tons of ore. Is it 12 million tons of ore or 12 million tons of contained metal?
So it's 12.53 million tons. It's not or you can't say ore, unfortunately. It's mineralized rock or 12.53 million tons of resource.
Okay, at 0.27%.
Is 0.26%, yeah.
Okay, and now we basically have a section where you think, which hasn't been included in that amount, which is now 1.02%.
Yeah, that's
Now,
the
obviously,
sticking
this is
point
only
is,
this hole, and we need to prove this up. Could
yeah.
be slightly more, could be slightly less. We don't really know. Yeah, but basically, this is going to add millions of tons of mineralization, surely, just by the sheer fact it's 40 meters. In width, that is a hell of a lot of millions of tons of rock. If you take that out even 40 meters by 40 meters, it's a lot of rock.
Yeah, I mean, I have to be careful. I can't comment as to how much this could add. The
Yes, I
key here
understand.
is doing more drilling to see the depth extent and the lateral extent. The important thing that this hole specifically will do, as it's within the open pit shell and within an area that's previously occupied by lower grade blocks, is the resource in this particular area. The blocks will have to they'll be higher grade, because effectively we've now replaced kind of 0.1 and 0.2 with, points over 0.7 over that interval. So now what we do is we look to see how big this zone is. Obviously, this hole is very important, and now this whole area has changed within the resource, but it's further drilling that we need to really quantify how much of the resource could be replaced effectively with this higher grade material.
Yeah, just so people understand, 3.45%, I know we're talking a lot of numbers, but 3.45% equivalent copper grade. Just to put people in perspective, 0.5% copper grade in Chile is like super duper. Thank you very much. We're going to dig a very big hole and we're going to get that out. Now, maybe you go to other parts of the world, Africa, for instance, 1-2% copper is seen as extremely good, but not the highest. The economics of 3.5% copper is phenomenal, because we've been doing a lot of study on that in the last week. 4% copper equivalent. I think what the market seems to be missing, and this is coming from me, is the real necessity, and I'm using that word not lightly, the necessity for tungsten. In the current climate, is surely going to mean the price of tungsten is going to go up, and actually, US-based tungsten is probably going to be at a premium. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're sort of the calm before the storm, so to say, in terms of the tungsten market. We've seen what's happened to antimony in the wake of the Chinese export bans, and all this the people that I kind of listen to and experts in the industry suggest that a tungsten export ban is next. So whether they're missing it or not, once they wake up, and if China has decided to ban the exports of tungsten, well, they'll know about it then. So whether you know about it now or you know about it when that happens, which is, believed to be happening sometime this year, and it may or may not happen, we'll see. But either way, I think it really emphasizes the importance of tungsten, as you mentioned, Kev. And if you want exposure to US made in America tungsten, We are the only, as far as we know, the only publicly traded tungsten focused company. And so that means we are in a very unique boat. And when the spotlight shifts, which we believe it will, I saw tungsten prices shift up again this morning. I get people reaching out, off takers from lots of countries in Asia saying, hey, we need tungsten ASAP and we'll pay a premium for it. Those are the kind of conversations ongoing right now. So we're positioned here. Whether the market, understands the value of what we have or the drill that we just drilled now, or 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 8 weeks from now, as long as we're adding value and the criticality of tungsten continues to increase, which we believe it will, then the market will take notice at some point in the not too distant future.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because okay, China could ban exports of tungsten or put huge premiums on them or whatever it happens to be. But the US have already said they're not going to take it from China from I think the end of 26, is it? So, the scenario is tungsten ban is already in place. It's not like it's going to happen. It's already happened. Will you have tungsten out the ground before the US says we're not taking any more from China?
So the export ban for, and this is just for DoD procurement specifically, goes into effect January 1st, 2027. So just over 2 years from now. The other important thing just to mention is that 25% tariffs were implemented on all Chinese imports as of a couple of weeks ago. So that makes, North American product that much more attractive. Will we be able to produce tungsten by that deadline? To go from where we're at now to production in 2 years is obviously that's a pretty lofty goal. There are other ways that the government is supporting domestic projects for defense metals. There's ways they can speed up permitting. Right now, with the way the kind of the timetable looks, that it wouldn't happen, but we're pushing it forward at pace. We don't think we're that much longer than that timeline that you just mentioned. But in a sort of call it a break the glass scenario, if China does ban the exports and tungsten is needed very quickly, there's other ways that we could look to support. And the reality is, all we're going to do is continue to push this project forward, add value, and get it through all the important kind of development PFS steps as quickly as we can, so we can be there to answer the call when it's needed.
Yeah, and I listened to some of the other stuff that you'd said, and we're aiming for PFS end of next year, really, or that sort of time frame anyway. So sort of maybe 12 months from now, that you will have a written document which will say the finances of this project work or don't work, and then it will be game on, I presume. It will be get yourself to a full feasibility study and then start mining.
Yeah, so just on the timelines there, so we've quoted kind of Q2, Q3 for the PFS. But yeah, no, once the PFS is done, then you quickly move to the next steps. And those are all important steps. What we're doing now is to get this, as close to production ready as we can. And that's really our goal
Yeah, I'm giving you breathing room because this is mining.
here. I appreciate it.
Delay,
Okay.
delay,
Well,
delays are inevitable for sure.
this is true. This is true.
So, Oliver, just want to say one thing. So, I mean, when I was, you're pretty sort of conservative in your, let's say, statements on our RNSs. I've been looking back at some previous statements, but it reminded me reading this one of an old clip that I used to watch on YouTube of the late great Murray Walker, who was the racing legend and obviously a pundit. But basically, he was driving a McLaren F1 and he was going through the words exciting, this is exhilarating. And he said, I'm going to run out of superlative soon. So I've pulled a selection of some of the most exciting sort of superlatives from the Olive from your statements. So there's extremely excited, outstanding results. I say results, best tungsten intercept ever recorded at Pilot Mountain, globally significant, very high grade mineralizing, highest ever single tungsten assay, material increase in resource model, just scratched the surface, extremely excited. So I think I've never known one reading an RNS where you seem so sort of like, let's say, upbeat.
Yeah, no, it's well, that's it. I mean, I save those superlatives for results like this. And I remember, the feeling when I first looked at, so I get the assays into my inbox and I'm scrolling through, I'm seeing, 1.2%, 1.3%, 2.9%, 1.2%. What I'm going, wait a second, this is different. There's something happening here. And obviously you don't know that the final tally is going to be. I dropped everything and I plugged the data into my computer and just started to play with the numbers and figure out what that intercept was. And when I landed on, 39.3 at the grade we had, I was going, oh my goodness, this is massive. So that, yeah, the superlatives are fitting for what we've done here. And I really, as you mentioned there, and close it off, Phil, we're just scratching the surface here. I mean, we're that's 13 holes reported. We're on 25 now. Drilling is ongoing. A lot of macro events that are kind of barreling down here. So it's going to get really exciting here, and we're positioned perfectly.
And geologically, Oliver, for 2.9%, obviously over a short period, so it's obviously a very strong metallic reef or whatever that you've hit there. What has had to happen geologically for that much tungsten to be released? Because that seems quite large compared to anything we know in the world.
Yeah, and that's why I want to go to site, to see that type of grade. I was just quoting a few numbers there, Phil, but I'll just actually w walk through the high grade ones. This is all continuous. 1.73%, 1.75%, 1.7%, 1.66%. So that's WO3. So that's, four continuous intervals. And if you go to the RNS, you can see all of the individual assays. We include everything for transparency. But 2.9% is outstanding. So I have to go and see that core firsthand. It's over 1.5 meters. So it's not like some thin vein that we high grade. It's actually just a really sulfide rich skarn interval. And for that to form and that to happen, Kev, you just need a lot of fluid, a lot of hot mineralizing fluid to run through this package of rocks here. So very, very fluid rich environment. That's why also you can get things like, 696 grams per ton silver, because it's this hot fluid coming through,
So the hot
which
fluid's
obviously.
coming through, and it's not just one flush. It's coming through and dropping its metallic content, coming through, dropping its metallic
Yeah,
content,
it's multiple
going
pulses
through,
typically. Yeah.
like keeps on coming through, and then you get to a cooling environment where then it cools, solidifies into the rock, and that's where you've got the metal. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. So multiple pulses, lots of fluid. That's what's going on here.
So what now you've found this, if you like, super metallic hole. How does that change your drilling program in terms of the amount of more drilling or just concentrating the drilling in this place? What's that likely to do?
So only once we drill it will we know. The reality is that this area that we drilled to find this had pretty low drilling density in it. So it's kind of a relatively open and unknown area. So that's what the next drill holes do, is they look to expand this zone. And this is just as a reminder, PM24001 is about 150, 200 meters away to the west, and that's where we hit another really high grade zone. So you can get these high grade shoots that exist within these deposits, and there's multiple of them so far. And obviously, with the drilling we're continuing to do, we're looking to find more of these. But also, if we just, increase our confidence in the resource, the 12.53 million tons we have right now, very significant when it comes to the U.S. national security landscape. And this, all this extra drilling and results like PM24012 were just added bonuses, really.
Okay, great. Just want to tell everybody to watch out. We're doing a Power Metals special this Sunday, on the Sunday roast. Oliver will also be appearing on that, which will give you a much better overview of the whole of Guardian Metal Resources. So that'll give you a much better overview of the whole game, if you like, that's going on down there in Nevada. And remember, mining is risk. Mining anything is risky. But you are in one of the best, if not the best, jurisdictions in the entire world for mining, in terms of knowledge, in terms of security, and in terms of the need and the ability for the American economy to get this out the ground for various reasons, defensive reasons, for the garnet, for other things, for silver, just as a byproduct. We're still waiting for the tests on the gold, whether there is any gold in them, the hills. So yeah, there's a lot of things going for it. You still have to say there is risk because we're drilling holes and we're trying to find out what's there. But really, that risk is becoming less and less and less with all of these results. It's that first mission.
That's good. Yeah, continue to de-risk, and we can elaborate more on the podcast tomorrow, but I think that's a good summation. And I'm going to be on site Saturday onwards, so lots to look forward to. I'm personally very excited just to go there and see some of this core and the core coming out of the ground, but also I'll try to keep the market apprised as we continue to push things forward here. So lots to come.
Okay.
Yep. We'll maybe have a chat with you next week from site and see what the
Yeah.
situation is.
Sounds good.
Very good. Okay, on that note, we'll say Oliver Friesen, CEO of Guardian Metal Resources. Thanks very much for your time.
Yeah, thanks, gents.
Cheers, Oliver.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.